Hi, I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you'll hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out at our website, www.amanet.org. Today, we'll spend some time with sales strategist and trainer Greg Bennett. He'll give his own take on consultative sales practices and share some insights on how to close the sale. But first, we'd like to invite you to provide feedback on this podcast by either emailing us at podcast@amanet.org or calling us at 800-697-3406. Your email or phone message might be heard on a future episode. Greg Bennett has been a top sales trainer, consultant, strategist, and coach since 1988. He has worked with hundreds of organizations and thousands of salespeople in a wide variety of industries, including extensive sales consultation and strategy development for over 150 professional sports teams and major universities across the country. Welcome, Greg. How is consultative closing different than the other books out there on consultative selling?
Well, what makes consultative closing different is that it really tries to bridge the gap between consultative selling, which has been around in many different forms through different books, different seminars and workshops for several years, and the concept of becoming more of a consultant versus a hard sell closer. And so those books are great on how to ask questions and how to listen and all the great skill sets that go into consultative selling. What makes this book different is that I take a look at some of the positive attributes of traditional or old school closing, and knowing that many consultative salespeople are nervous about appearing too much like an old-fashioned salesperson.
Why do consultative salespeople struggle with closing?
Consultative salespeople struggle with closing, I think, by and large, is we don't like to see ourselves in that old school style of real hard sell, make everybody uncomfortable type of salesperson. And so we start with that mindset that I want to be a bit different. I want to be liked and respected, and I want to respect myself if I have to sell. And so I think we start with a mindset that says, I don't want to be seen in those old-fashioned ways, and I don't like the feeling that someone that just tries to apply too much pressure makes me feel. And so consultative salespeople like to see themselves as somebody that really does establish a need with a client, understands a problem, is seen as more of a strategist and consultant and a helper. And so what I hear from managers often is that I've got great consultative salespeople, but they're afraid of conflict. And they can't ask for the order. They're afraid. They don't know what to say, how to say it in such a way that doesn't suddenly cause them to be too aggressive, too hard sell. And I believe that many folks just don't know how to do that. They don't know the techniques or the strategies or the questions or really how to break down the process in such a way that I can ask for action without being really pushy and destroying all this great consultative sort of vibe I've got going on, and really more of a partner with the client. I suddenly turn into a hard sell closer, and I think that's why they shy away from it, the fear of conflict and creating that conflict and ruining a relationship.
Greg, you make the claim that you can make anyone a better closer. How is that possible?
Well, I make the claim because I believe I've discovered a gap. For all the hundreds of books that have been written about sales, and as long as the sales process has been around, I believe I've discovered a gap that 99% of salespeople really have never seen before, never looked at it this way. And the gap is what I try to bring to life in the book through the identifying of actionable mini steps in the closing process and sharing those with a client. And so why I can make anyone a better closer is once even the best salespeople see what I'm talking about and discover this gap and they start to apply it to what they do, they immediately become better. If you're totally petrified of the typical sales approach and sales process, that you can take the strategies I've outlined in this book and immediately apply them and become better right away.
Now, for a small business owner or entrepreneur, what are some examples of mini steps and how do they go about creating them?
The mini step process is really what I feel is revolutionary in this book, and what I feel I've discovered that gap in the way 99% of salespeople and people that have to sell approach what they do, and really what it is it's breaking down the typical two-step process, which is before the sale and after the sale. That's the way it's traditionally always been done, and we take several steps, and so you have to create proposals and you do lots of different things before the sale, and then you ask the client where he may be, and he gives some sort of verbal response, and then eventually we try to sell him, and then it becomes after the sale. So what I do is I break down the actual process into identifiable steps. Now, for some, that may not seem that revolutionary, but I think the part that's revolutionary is I share those steps with the client in the sales process as part of what we do. And so, you know, for somebody that's not used to selling, let's say a business owner or an accountant, one of the things that makes it very intimidating is they're not very verbally trained or gifted in how to persuade verbally people to take action. And when you break down the steps into actionable items, so basically what I do is I lay out the entire process of somebody getting engaged with a company, and you put them into actionable items that are good for the client, that are needed in order to accomplish the sale. And then you lay them out on a timeline, and then you share them with the client that you are trying to get to take action. And that's what makes it revolutionary. So the mini steps are basically the process broken down into action items the clients can take, starting with early steps that are very easy for them to take. It may be a brainstorming session. It may be the gathering of a piece of information or a logo. It may be small actionable items that people can take. And then showing salespeople that the client either takes action or does not take action. And that really does tell you where they are in the sales process and if they are as, quote, interested as they say they truly are. And so for somebody that's not used to selling, it really does make the persuasion process much easier to understand, and advancing the sale is something that anybody can do.
One of the chapters of your book is entitled Embracing No. When we hear so much about positive thinking and wanting to get people to say yes, what is embracing no? What does that mean, and why is it a good thing?
No, embracing no has to start at the very top of a sales organization, and that's why I'm saying it must be embraced by everybody. What happens is when a salesperson is with a client, and the client, trying to avoid conflict, will use oftentimes deceptive, false positive answers. We're interested. We're looking at it. We'll give it some thought. And usually that is covering issues and negative thoughts that they really have, but they're not shared with the salesperson because no one wants the conflict. Well, the salesperson hears this and then reports it back to their manager, who then hears it and reports it to top management. It goes all the way up the chain. The problem is the organization is embracing maybe and interested and looks good and perhaps, when in reality, that's not even real. What we need to do is embrace no, that the answer may be no and there are issues. And so by embracing no, when you have actionable mini steps, when a person goes out and talks with a client and the client declines to take a mini step, that salesperson has to embrace the possibility that the client is at no and that they have issues, so you can get at the issues and turn them. And so many organizations get stuck because they accept this false world of perhaps, maybe, we may end up doing something. And that's what managers tell me is their biggest problem. Their consultative salespeople go out and visit with people, but they can't close them. They can't move them through the process. And so you've got kind of a dysfunctional dance that is happening between a client who is giving false positives and a very needy salesperson who only wants to hear good things and is not really embracing no as a possible. And you end up with several, you know, bogus items in your pipeline that aren't even close to being real. And it starts from the client to the seller, works all the way up to the top of an organization.
Greg, you claim that most business people and salespeople are terrible at servicing the client after the sale. Can you give some examples? And can you give us some ways that a business owner can start to improve in this area?
Yes, the after-sales process. There's three core tenets that I tried to ideas I tried to put forth in the book, Consultative Closing. One is that you need to create many steps in the process. Two, you need to embrace no. And the third is if we really want to form partnerships with clients, we need to bring the after-sale process to life. I find that most people, by and large, in almost all industries, are terrible at working with clients, truly forming partnerships after they take ownership. They see it so much as I will own it as the salesperson, as I'm selling it to you. Once you take ownership of it, you do whatever you want. And an example would be, I work a lot in professional sports with professional sports teams, and they would sell somebody, let's say, season tickets to a basketball team. And the way that the handoff would take place is the client buys them, and they're going to use them inside their business, and the salesperson hands them the tickets, and they go right in the drawer. And then the season starts, and the client goes about misusing these tickets because no one really worked with them on how to maximize their investment. So what I try to do with salespeople is and business owners is to say, you need to bring your after-sale process as much to life as you do the before the sale, because it's only after the sale that the client is trying to execute on what he or she just bought. And it's the partnering with them to maximize their investment that really forms a long-lasting partnership, because then it leads to repeat sales, it leads to referrals, it leads to all the wonderful things that can come with relationship. But so many salespeople, unfortunately, sell as if a one-night stand mentality versus a long-term relationship where you're focused on really working with someone several years down the road.
You've built some interactive elements into the book, like the online resource center. Why did you build that? And what can people find there?
This is my first book, and I've read hundreds of books on sales and marketing and management and motivation over the years, and I felt if I'm going to write a book, I need to be true to my word to say that I need to work with the reader after he or she buys as well. It can't be just a transfer of information. There needs to be some partnering with people. To partner with them, I wanted to make it much more an interactive experience. So in the book, each of the chapters, I have a couple of assignments and some things that they can find that relate to that chapter at the Online Resource Center. And at the Online Resource Center, which is at gregbennett.blogs.com, you will find a variety of different tools. There's some video segments they can watch, and there's just some interactive ways to bring to life what I talk about. My feeling was that I wanted to make it an interactive experience. They could gather more information, they could share ideas, they could read from read what other folks are doing. And then keeping the blog active, I believe, is really the way to stay in touch and to form a lasting partnership with them, so that as they use my strategies and concepts and they try them and they struggle or that they succeed, that they feel that they're always plugged into a community of folks who are doing the same things, who have the same sort of thoughts and ideas. And I get emails and updates and notes from people all over the world who are reading it and saying they really enjoy finding that follow-up info. And that was the whole purpose, is to make it more of a long-lasting partnership with anybody that happened to read the book.
Greg, can you give us that URL one more time?
Yes, it's http://, and then it's just gregbennett.blogs, it's B-E-N-N-E-T-T, .blogs.com.
Our thanks to Greg Bennett for being on the show today.
Thanks a lot.
It's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our 5 executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. And now here's Kevin Lee.
Today I'm in AMA's Advanced Sales Management Seminar, and I'm asking participants to share what they've learned from their experiences in consultative selling.
We do international mapping and collect elevation and imagery data for large areas and for whole countries around the world. And so typically the selling that we do is to sophisticated users of mapping data. Part of the process as you're going along is to determine how serious are they about really getting to a solution and getting to a closure on their part. you know, is their problem one that's been there forever and they're just not comfortable making a decision, in which case you're going to be an unpaid consultant, or is it something that's a real problem, it's got a real timeline to it that really does need to be solved, and that they are going to have to make a decision. And then the question is, when is that decision? And you work the sales cycle accordingly. But sometimes you have to be careful that you're not just providing free consulting, because there are a lot of problems that they've been talking about it for years, and they will be talking about it for years and probably never make a purchase, in which case they're just picking your brain. And that's expensive.
I work for a major magazine printing company. The process of producing the magazines, there's a lot of technology involved. So we've put in some technologies and spent a fair amount of money on these technologies that allow more of an interactive relationship between a magazine publisher or a cataloger and their printer. Some of our smaller competitors don't have the same type of technology. The technology allows us to be much more a part of the client's business and for them to reach into our systems as far as they want. And when you allow clients that kind of access to your data, which is really their data, it creates that connection between the companies. And we've talked in this class a couple of times about the concept of golden handcuffs. You know, those pieces of technology or process or just the way you do business that is so easy that it makes it much more difficult for them to leave. If you know you're at a competitive advantage with XYZ guy over here who may not have the ability even to compete at that level with truly systems that play into their workflow, then I think you have to be less concerned about maintaining that focus on the hard close. Yes, you've got to close the sale at some point, but if you know that you have competitive advantage at a certain level, I think that the process and the consultation and the value that you're bringing just leads to the close. You absolutely have to make sure you do that. However, if you're at a parity with another vendor, similar technology, less of competitive advantage, even the consultative role, I think you have to have more of a focus and make sure that that close piece is right there in the front of your mind at all times as a salesperson.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.